Support for The Common comes from Davis Malm. Their tax attorneys take the time to understand your unique goals and find the most cost-effective ways to accomplish them, distilling complex tax laws down to clear choices so you can make the best decisions. DavisMalm.com. DavisMalm.com.
Hey, it's Daryl C. Murphy, and I just want to talk to you real quick. The Common is produced at WBUR in Boston. We're public media. We don't have paywalls, which means we don't ask you to pay to see our work. We say, here's some powerful stories for free. And then, if some of those stories you read or listen to are important to you and you talk about it with your friends and family, and you even see the world a little differently, then we ask you to support it. Because we want to continue making work that is meaningful to you. And right now, I want to let you know what's happening at WBUR. Our radio shows, our podcasts are getting some of the biggest audiences we've ever had. Our journalism is winning awards, reaching new and more diverse audiences. And you are a big part of that. Our journalism has never been stronger, but the business has never been harder. We've had a big loss of sponsorship dollars, like a lot of media companies have in recent years. But one thing we've always been pretty good at is getting support from our listeners to make the things they love. So we're asking right now, in a crucial moment for WBUR, can you help us get through this by joining other listeners in supporting WBUR? We need your help to keep making the podcast you're listening to right now, along with everything else that comes from WBUR. Your help would mean a lot to me and to all of my colleagues. So please, head to our website, WBUR.org. Thanks.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. Miriam Wasser, Senior Environment and Climate Reporter for WBUR. What's up, what's up?
Hey, Daryl.
Thank you so much for coming to The Common.
My pleasure.
So, Miriam, I understand you and I are talking about scams, like a little scam today, right?
Well, we're talking about competitive electric suppliers, and some people might say that they do a lot of scams.
Okay, fair enough. With that said, let's get into it. My first question, Miriam, what is a competitive energy supplier?
Sure. And that's a term that like probably makes your eyes glaze over. But have you ever had someone come to your door and ask to see your electric bill?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, they probably look at your bill and they say, you know, hey, I'm working with your utility and it looks to me like you're paying too much. But good news, I have a plan that can save you money.
Mm-hmm.
Those are competitive electric suppliers. You might also encounter them on social media. They're pretty prolific with ads. You often get mailers. And basically, the way it works is in Massachusetts, you have several options for where to buy your electricity.
Yeah, why is that?
Well, it goes back to the late 90s when we restructured the entire electric market. And the idea was that if consumers can choose who they buy electricity from and we increase competition in the market, it will save people money, right? In general, we think more competition means it's going to save people money.
Yeah.
But in this specific case, year after year after year, the opposite has happened.
Mm-hmm. So people are not saving money.
No, people are losing a lot of money.
Okay, so take me to the moment where somebody knocks on my door, I open it, I show them my electric bill. Where does it go from there?
Yeah, let's actually take a minute and think about that electric bill.
Okay, so let's do it.
Your bill has two parts. There's what's called the supply portion, which is the actual electricity you consume. So there's a rate per kilowatt hour for what you use.
Yep.
And then there's a whole bunch of other charges that fall into the category of delivery. And that's like the cost to maintain all the wires and the infrastructure that comes to your house. So if you sign up with a competitive supplier, they are in charge of the supply portion. They are going to go into the wholesale market and buy electricity on your behalf. Mm-hmm. Your utility still does the delivery portion. And this is where things get confusing for people a lot of the time because your bill is still going to come from your utility every month. write it one check a month, and it pays your supplier what it's owed. So for a lot of people, they don't even know that they have a competitive supplier because it says it on your bill, but it's kind of hard to read, right? If you don't know what you're looking for, but that is how it works.
Okay. So these people come to your door with the contract ready to sign. They want to leave your residence with your signature, allowing them to switch over your energy supplier.
Right. Yeah. One of the selling points of a competitive supplier is like, it's super easy, right? There's no installation required. Yep. So yes, you can sign up for one of these things in a couple of minutes.
Did you talk to anybody who went through this?
I spoke to a woman who lives in East Boston, Noemi Rodriguez. She speaks Spanish, and a couple of years ago, two salespeople came to her door. One of them spoke Spanish, so she sort of felt like she could trust them. And the guys said that they were with the city and that they had a quote-unquote state plan that was going to save her money. Mm-hmm. She didn't know what any of this was about. Like, right, she's a normal person, doesn't know anything about how electricity markets work. All she knew was that she felt like she was paying too much on her electric bill, so she signed up. And at first, her bill did go down because a lot of times what happens is there's like a teaser or like an introductory rate that can be really low. For a lot of people, though, after 6 months or after a year, there can be an automatic renewal, and then you start getting these really high and variable rates. What happened with Noemi was a little bit more confusing. She had thought she'd canceled the plan, but somehow got signed up with either a different supplier or another. It's not entirely clear. All of a sudden, though, her bills went from about $80 a month to over $200 a month.
Damn.
And she had no idea that she had a competitive supplier because she thought she canceled her plan. And this is a common story.
Wow. That's wild. Just how predatory is this? Like, who do we see typically getting caught up in these bad energy contracts?
You see a lot of low-income residents. You see a lot of people who don't speak English fluently. You see a lot of older adults. You see a lot of people with intellectual disabilities. You know, I've heard stories about people coming to the door of older adults and getting them to sign contracts for things that they very clearly don't understand. There's a lot of documented cases where people who don't speak English fluently were given contracts in English to sign. It's really interesting. So the Attorney General's office has been looking into this for years. And what they've said to me is, you know, we cannot definitively say that competitive electric suppliers target certain people. But if you look at the data, and they've looked at it at like zip code level, incorporated state demographics, what they know is that in areas that have a lot of low-income residents or a lot of people of color, anyone who lives in that area is more likely to be signed up for a competitive supply plan. And I do just want to point out, this is not a Massachusetts problem. Similar residential market like this exists in about, I think it's 12 other states plus Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. And in every state that has investigated this, they found similar losses.
Going back to what you originally said about how these competitive energy suppliers came about, do people actually save money? Are there at least like a group of people who are benefiting from this?
There are. Every year, there are some people who save money from this. A lot of times when people save money, it's because they just signed up. And there tend to be these introductory periods where you have a really low rate. And then maybe after 6 months or after a year, your contract auto-renews and you get put on a variable rate. And that's when you start to see prices increase. There are also people who can save money because they love doing this and they love tracking the industry. They like to compare rates online. They know what their utility is charging. They understand how this all works. But I think, you know, for the average person, people don't really have the time or the interest to do that.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back.
Did you kill Marlene Johnson?
I think you're one of the first people to have actually asked.
From WBUR and ZSP Media, this is Beyond All Repair, a new podcast about an unsolved murder that will leave you questioning everything.
Somebody should be in jail for murdering my sister.
A woman who's never been believed.
As long as they think I have done this, then they're not looking for who actually did this.
And that's what makes it a cold case.
No, it's a botched case.
And a search for the truth, once and for all.
Wow, it just gets more interesting.
Beyond All Repair. Listen and follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Be careful. You're digging in a place that's been very peaceful for a while.
Do it anyway. Dig.
Okay, so bringing it back to Massachusetts, what's being done about this?
Well, I would say that there are two competing views about what to do about this industry. On the one hand, you have people who say competition is good, and there is a way for this market to work for people and save money as promised. We just need to do more to rein in the bad apples, right? We need to have more government oversight. We need to penalize those who do bad things. And someone who really feels strongly about this is a man named Frank Kaliva, who works for the Retail Energy Supply Association.
We think customers should have the ability to shop. We just think additional safeguards and additional oversight and additional education are vital for a properly functioning market.
And I should add that the Retail Energy Supply Association is an industry group for competitive energy suppliers. But on the other hand, there are those who say, you know what, this isn't a bad apples problem. This is an industry problem. And sort of, I'd say the leading voice on that is probably the Massachusetts Attorney General's office. They have been looking into this for several years and have issued several really big comprehensive reports. And these reports show that over, you know, a six-year period, ratepayers in Massachusetts paid $525 million more in electric rates than they needed to. And that's compared to what they would have paid if they had stayed with their utility service. So, you know, you talk to the Attorney General's office who says, you know, when we first started looking into this, we thought maybe it's a couple bad actors, but turns out it's the whole industry. And they have come to the conclusion that the only thing to do is to just eliminate the market, because from their point of view, it's not working for residents.
Yeah, yeah. So are lawmakers aware of this? And if so, are they doing anything about it?
Yes, and that's a great question. And I'd say from the legislative side of things, the person really leading the charge on this is the state rep from Lawrence, Frank Moran. And a couple of years ago, his elderly Spanish-speaking father got duped into signing up for one of these plans. So that's what sort of motivates him to try to tackle this issue.
I believe in free enterprise. But in this case, it's actually hurting customers.
He has filed bills in the last few sessions that would bar these companies from signing up new residential customers, so effectively phasing out the industry over time. The bill does not affect commercial and industrial customers. They can still use competitive suppliers. And in fact, competitive suppliers tend to work really well for those kinds of customers because they're really sophisticated. They're buying a lot of power. They can make the system work for them. The bill from Representative Moran got really close last session. It passed the Senate, but it kind of died in a conference committee. So didn't quite make it over the finish line. But he and others are, you know, remaining optimistic that maybe this will be the year something happens with it.
Well, in the meantime, let's say somebody just signed up for one of these competitive energy supplier contracts. They just signed one. And now they've heard this podcast, they hear us talking, and they're like, shit, you know, what are their options to get out of this bad contract? What can they do?
So I believe under state law, you have 3 days to cancel a contract without any penalty. But it depends on the contract. There are some out there that have no cancellation fees, and you can you know, call the company and back out at any time. And then there are others that have really steep cancellation fees. And I do just want to add, these competitive suppliers cost everyone extra money. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the worst harmed are those who maybe sign up for a plan and get charged higher rates. But every ratepayer is helping to subsidize this. Because the way that it works in Massachusetts is if you are a low-income customer, you get a subsidized electricity rate. That money is made up for by the rest of us, the rest of ratepayers. And so if you, as a low-income customer, end up with a higher rate because of a competitive supplier, that means that everyone else in Massachusetts is helping to pay for that. And if you go into debt and sign up for a debt forgiveness program, and we have really, really wonderful and generous debt forgiveness programs in Massachusetts, and they're like a great model for the rest of the country, there's an element of that money that gets forgiven that is absorbed by the rest of ratepayers. So everybody is paying extra money because of this industry.
Well, Miriam, thank you so much for coming by the Common. I understand this is a series. This is one part of a three-part series. So tell me about the others.
Yeah. So we'll also be looking this week at competitive suppliers that sell 100% renewable energy plans and kind of asking how green are those plans. And then we'll also be doing a story about someone who sold one of these plans for a little while and kind of his take on the industry. Mm-hmm. So all of this will be available at WBUR.org. We're also publishing a tips post, so you can read through and you can see some tips for how to find out if you have a competitive supplier and then how not to get scammed. So make sure you go check that out. Also, WBUR.org.
Hit it. Well, Miriam, I am sure you're going to help a lot of people with that, you know. So, you know, I hope you do, because this thing is really bad. People need to know. So we appreciate you doing this reporting, all your work. Thank you so very much for coming to The Common.
Well, Daryl, thank you for having me on, as always.
That's WBUR Senior Climate and Environment Reporter Miriam Wasser. And that's our show for today. Thank you so very much for listening to The Common. If you have any thoughts on this episode, please hit us up on Instagram at WBURTheCommon. You can also send us an email at thecommon@wbur.org. I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.